believe. What we believe really does matter. And we want to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him first above all things. We talk about the idea of what it means to be a Christian. And we're going through the Apostles' Creed, which is sort of the foundational beliefs of Christendom. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this morning we're going to talk about Christ as the victor. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are on the winning side. Amen? This is my Father's world, one of these old hymns. And I love one of the lines in that song. It says, though the wrong seems off so strong, He is the ruler yet. And we look what's going on in this world. And sometimes it seems like God is losing. Let me reassure you, He is not. All things are working according to His purpose and His plan and His time. And the Lord has blessed us that sometimes He uses us along the way. And we are called to be faithful, to work until He comes. So we're going to read through the Apostles' Creed here this morning and pick up as we do this study. And I'm not doing anything over here. All right. What happened, Mark? Oh, come on, Mark. I can't blame you. Unplug it. Plug it back in. From beginning. Oh, it is out. Why is it out? All right. Can you try to fire that up, Lauren? If you, Lauren, on the bottom, you know, where you switch it over, you do black, it'll black screen. We won't see all the process. But anyways, I can go without this. Anyways, the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. So I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. All God's people said, amen. So we've been talking about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, my 16-year-old daughter. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He will come to judge the living and the dead. We talk about how the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He was man. He came and dwelt in this world. He died upon the cross. We celebrated that this morning in communion, that He gave His life for us. Last week we talked about the grave did not hold Him. 3 days later He rose from the dead. And because of that we serve a risen, living Savior. And that changes everything. Every other religion is serving dead people. Dead philosophies. We serve a risen Savior who is alive. We have a relationship. That's why people say, well, I don't have a religion, I have a relationship. And that's kind of true. Religion is just kind of, we live out what we believe. So all of us are religious. We just live what we, right? And so that's how we live it out. The difference with us is that our religion is based on a relationship. I serve Jesus Christ and He is alive. I pray to Him and He hears me. He interacts with me. Right? Whether it's big things like a house burning down. Something smaller like, Lord, I want to race. To my favorite, where's my car keys? Now don't laugh. You've prayed that prayer. Like I said, I'm convinced there's a whole squad of angels who are designated to finding car keys. And we keep them pretty busy. But see, as we talk about Jesus Christ, we wrap up this portion of the Apostles' Creed that talks and focuses on Jesus, that He talks about He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead.
As we break this down, we talk about he ascended. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he rose from the dead, right, he hung out for a while, showed himself to his disciples and followers. At one point, showed himself to 500 people all at once. Then Acts tells us what happened. It says, now when they had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. As Jesus, imagine his disciples' surprise, right? They go out onto the hill. As they're talking with Jesus, and he's telling them, right, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He started giving us his last orders, and as he stood there, he watched him ascend up into heaven. What a sight that would have been. Now, the disciples in all this, remember, you know, right before the crucifixion, they thought Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom here and then. They were expecting him to overthrow the government and take charge. And yet he did not. And all of a sudden, as they're sitting there, you know, death has been conquered. Their greatest fears have been taken care of, right? They were worshiping and serving the Savior, the Messiah. What could stop them now? And as he was sharing these things, he disappeared. And I love the reaction because they watched him go. And you know what they were expecting? Him to come right back down. So here they are, just standing around, kind of gawking. And so much so that God sent two angels and said, hey guys, what are you doing? Get going. Find it interesting, when you talk about the ascension of Jesus, if we talk about these things, that oftentimes what we see this as, well, while the Lord is away, I'm just going to stand around. Right? I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and wait for him to return. That's not the case. We're called to go. We're told to share the gospel, share the good news to those around us. To be obedient to him until he comes. I love this is, Jesus is talking to the Father. This is in John 17. And he says, I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. As Jesus ascended, that he went at his Father's side, and in here, his glory was returned to him. When he was here on earth, he laid that aside. The Bible says he humbled himself. Think of this, the Almighty Creator God, full of power and glory, laid that aside to come live like us. And yet when he ascended on high, God restated, gave him back that glory that he had laid aside. That we come before him as a mighty God, worthy of praise and glory, to be worshipped for who he is. I think sometimes we often question, you know, what would Jesus do? Remember the old bracelets that were around? What would Jesus do? WWJG. And the question is, what would Jesus do? That was the question that was often posed. You know, before you do something, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And I think that kind of presupposes in our lives of this idea that if Jesus was here with me, what would he do? And I think that kind of leads us to some faulty thinking. Because wouldn't it be great if every morning Jesus was at your bedside saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. Or saying, hey, I don't understand what's going on in this world today. Can you show me? Lord, can you comfort me? If only Jesus was here, Things would be so much different. But before Jesus left, he told the disciples this. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And this passage always kind of just troubled me. He goes, look, it's to your advantage. It's good for you that I am not going to be with you physically. Aye, aye, aye. How can this be? What advantage is there? I don't know about you, but wouldn't you want Jesus to sit around and talk to him? And yet he says the advantage is that he's going to go away. He's going to send what? A helper. Now the Apostles' Creed, we're going to go down through a little deeper and talk about the idea of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes. When he left, now we have the Holy Spirit comes. When Jesus was here, he was in Israel. He was in Galilee. He was crucified in Jerusalem. If Jesus was alive today, physically here on earth, guess what? He would be in one spot at one time. And it probably wouldn't be in Stockton Springs, Maine. But because he is not here physically anymore, we have the advantage now that now the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in us. We become the temple of the living God. So if I were to ask you, how far away is Jesus from you now? He's right here. And we can pray to him and he hears us. He sees us in our turmoil, in our lowest spots. He's with us everywhere we go. I think sometimes we forget what a privilege we really have to have the ever-presence of God in our lives. To strengthen us, to energize us, to comfort us in all these things. He ascended on high. When he ascended on high, he says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down. Now, it's interesting that is included, because what does that denote? First of all, it denotes the work is done. The work is done. He came and accomplished it all. Love that old hymn. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washes white as snow. Jesus accomplished it all. Before eternity, Jesus was destined to die upon the cross. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies of those who waited for the long-awaited Messiah. The Gospels tell us that he came and accomplished it all, that he died to accomplish our redemption. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, accomplished it all. You know, I've been listening to a lot of different apologists. And apologists are ones who just defend their faith. And it breaks my heart that there are churches out there that say, you know what? What Jesus did is almost good enough. That it's up to us now to earn our salvation, to keep our salvation. As if what he had accomplished wasn't enough. Let me tell you something. As Paul told the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you? Right? If you couldn't earn your salvation, what makes you think you can keep it? That God doesn't continue to love me because I'm good enough. Because guess what? I'm not. My salvation isn't based on me. It's based on him. And he accomplished it all. Take a look here at this finished work, Hebrews tells us, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, talking about Lord Jesus Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, did what? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The work was finished. The work was accomplished. We are set free. Satan has lost. And God has won. We talk about his idea of sitting down. In here, it shows his authority. Shows his authority. Peter tells us this, as who had gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made what? Subject to him. Yeah, before church, I go around and greet everyone and glad you're here and shake your hand. I love that. And I have a few people who I come around, they stand up. And I'm like, no, sit down, relax, right? And so I was like, I do that on a sign of respect. And I'm like, I don't think I'm worthy of that. Yeah, but we're just the same. I'm not over anyone. You sit down. Don't feel like you have to get up for me. Right? We had the idea of the throne, of the king's room. If I were to walk in to the palace, or if I were to walk into the White House, or even the governor's mansion. If I'm walking in to a place with person with authority, right? I'd be the one who would stand. I wouldn't expect the president to stand or the governor to stand for me. Why? Because they have the authority. See, Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father, not just to show that he had finished the work, but praise God he did. But now he is the one who is above and fills all things. Revelation gives us a picture of the throne room of God. And it says, and sing with a loud voice. Listen to this. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Our Lord that we serve is worthy of all these things. And he sits on the throne. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I don't know about you, but I kind of cringe because I think we have people who are in authority who think they are the top authority. Whether it be in Washington, whether it be in our state house, whether it be in our local positions, there are people who forget that they are not the top authority. They will have to bow the knee, either on this side of glory or on the other side of glory. Because Jesus is the only one worthy to sit on the throne. Amen? Every knee will bow. Colossians tells us this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The question in the Psalms is, where does my salvation come from? Right? Some trust in chariots and some people trust in money. Dear Christian, our hope should be on the one who sits on the throne. I need to turn my eyes towards the throne. Less of the TV, less on the radio, less in, I was going to say newspapers, but I don't know if people even read those anymore. It's funny, I was over at someone's house visiting, and they had a copy of the Bangor Daily News sitting there. And I haven't seen a newspaper in a long time, and so it was the comics was sitting up, and I said, oh, that's the comics section, right? Because last time I had a newspaper in my hand, I remember it was like the D section where you had the obituaries and the comics, right? And that was just one section. And I said, oh, this is the D section. And they're like, no, this is the whole newspaper. I'm like, what? I remember because it used to be, right? The newspaper used to be like thick, right? I know because my mom would roll it up and correct us sometimes, right? Back in the day. Man, I don't know if you'd kill a fly with this thing now, right? I mean, that's kind of gone by the wayside. I was just surprised at how much it shrunk, Right? No matter what all these things say. And I read these things. And I don't know about you, but I just get discouraged. Sometimes I want to give up hope. And when that happens, what's happened in my life is I've got my eyes on myself. I've got my eyes on the world. Christian, look up and turn your eyes upon Jesus. And he is on the throne. He is in control. It is in his timing, according to his will. All these things are playing out. He sits on the throne as a sign of his finished work. He sits on the throne as a sign of his authority. He sits on the throne as the intercessor. The Bible says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God to what? Make intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. Hebrews tells us to come boldly before his throne of grace. What a privilege it is as Christians to come before him and lay these things all down at his feet. That he makes intercession for us. The Bible says this same Jesus, right, who ascended, who sat at the right hand of the Father, will come again and judge the living and the dead. The story isn't over. Right? The final chapters have been written, but we're still halfway through the book. Actually, we're probably 3/4 of the way through the book. You ever been reading a good story, a good account, and all of a sudden something traumatic happens towards the middle of it, and you're like, oh no. Keep reading the book. I'm not a big proponent of reading at the end. I know some of you, you'll find a good book and you read it, and some of you will read the last pages, you sneak a peek. Shame on you. I think that's a sin. I can't find that verse, but it's... I'll pray for you. Right? I don't want to know the ending. You know, sit down in a movie, ever watch a movie with someone who's already seen it, and all the suspension and everything, and you're like, oh no! And they're like, oh yeah, it's okay. They live. And you're like, no! Don't do that! With all that said, I encourage you as Christians. You know what? You ever feel discouraged, feel down? Read the end of the book. God wins. So much so, Revelation chapter 19 tells us of this scene. It says, now I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Jesus is not powerless. He is not weak. He's the Almighty God. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Creator. And he is the Judge. Christian, do not be discouraged. Our God is on high. He sits on the throne. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, continue on in Revelation chapter 20. It talks about the great white throne. And it talks about all those who have ever lived will stand before that throne. And the books will be opened. You know, I don't know about you, but I get discouraged because it seems like wrong wins. It seems like those who are evil get away with it. You know, part of me watching this kind of election, I was waiting to see who they're going to put in, like the FBI and all that. Because I feel like our government has turned its ires, and has turned its hatred against those who stand upon the Word of God. During the last administration, we had people arrested for saying abortion is wrong, for standing up for their children in school against the wickedness that's out there. And it seems like those who lie the most get away with it the most. And I'm reminding myself, God is still on the throne. And they will give an account. Every deed will be exposed. Every secret thing will be brought to the open. And they will all have to stand before their judge. And all those who have not given their life to Jesus Christ are thrown into a real place called hell for eternity. But Christian, praise God, that though I am imperfect, my sins are washed away. My judge is sinned. My sin is judged upon the cross. But Jesus paid for that. And he is my advocate when I sin. And in light of this, we are to live for him, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Doing what? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian, we talk about the Lord's return. While the world should be fearful because they're going to have to stand him as judge, we come as our Redeemer and our Savior. Actually, he calls it what? A blessed hope. Bob mentioned this in Sunday school. Right? The idea of hope in the Bible isn't, you know, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I don't know what person came up with that. Right? But it isn't blow out the candles and make a wish. That's not the hope we have. The Bible uses the word hope as an assurance. Isn't that I hope Jesus comes back, is that I know he's coming back. And until then, Lord, help me be faithful. Help me to live for you. Help me to do what's right in your sight. Because I know you're coming again. Don't be discouraged. Jesus tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't be discouraged in this world. Right? This world is temporary. God has gone to go prepare a place for you, an eternal home. I got a home in glory that can outshine the sun. I remember I was a kid and I had to share my room with my brothers. I did not enjoy sharing my room with all my brothers. And I remember as a young child sitting there and hearing a pastor share and talk about this. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And I was like, there's a place just for me? Coming from a big family, I had to share everything. We shared clothes and bikes and toys and the room. And I remember as a younger, that it struck me that I have my own place that God has prepared just for me. In my life, I've moved a little bit. It's funny, I remember talking to someone and talking about our childhood, and because of jobs and situation, my parents moved often. We moved to Maine to Minnesota and several different places. It wasn't until like fourth grade I spent 1 year in one school. And I remember talking to someone, and I thought that was kind of normal. I thought everyone just kind of moved around. And someone looked at me and goes, were your parents like outlaws? They thought we were running from the law.
I'm like, not that I know of. You know? But folks, there's a place prepared for us that is home. Think about that. A place with no more goodbyes, no more sorrow, of eternal rest with our Savior. What a blessing we have with Him. To be encouraged, to be strengthened in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, as we look at Christianity, we look at these elements of our belief. In here it says He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. That's our Jesus. I want to encourage you to worship Him. Hang on. Hang on. All this is temporary. And I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe it's going to be soon. If not, Lord, help us be faithful. To trust in Him. Because He's a God who keeps His promise. They ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Strengthen us, encourage us with it. Now, Lord, it seems like the wrong is winning, Lord. It seems that there's other authorities. But thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. You are on the throne. Lord, I thank You that You are victorious. That You are all authority, all power. And You will judge all things. You will set all things right. Encourage us this morning with Your word. Lord, help us be faithful to You. Strengthen us, encourage us, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.